Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And at the same time, I have the security that I know that my future generations will be able to have.
That was Pat Mahomes, who's got a chance over the next 10 years hitting some incentives to make over $500 million from the Kansas City Chiefs in an extension. In fact, he's under contract with them for the next 12 years through the 2031 season. We're Grant and Danny. Welcome back, 106.7 The Fan. I think at this point, Danny, it goes without saying that if you're going into the 2020 campaign, you expect Pat Mahomes to be the guy at the QB position. You look at the last 2 years and the way he's played, the numbers he's put up, the success he's had, second player to win a Super Bowl and an MVP in his first three seasons, quarterback ratings of 113 and 105 as a two-year starter, 300-plus yards and 2.5 passing touchdowns per game under center. He is number one at the position right now going into the year. Fair?
Yes, no question about it. And if he's not banged up last year, he's got a great shot to win back-to-back MVPs. Despite the season that Lamar Jackson had, which was unbelievable, transcendent, and incredible, it very well could have been Mahomes' award to lose for the second straight time.
Yeah, I haven't thought much about that, but you're actually right. And you don't see that, right? You don't see guys going back-to-back and stringing MVPs together. But he's got a chance to rip off 4 out of 5, 5 out of 6 or 7, something like that. I think Lamar Jackson would have won anyway because that offense in Baltimore was so unique and just prolific. I mean, there was nothing that they didn't do in the regular season, which is when you vote for that award. But I get your point. And Mahomes would have absolutely given him a run, would have taken some first-place votes away, would have made it interesting instead of a runaway. So the question then becomes, if Mahomes is the number one QB in the NFL right now, who's number two? Going into the 2020 NFL season. And we got thinking about this because ESPN.com's Jeremy Fowler did a great piece that came out on the website overnight. He's going to be publishing each position group one at a time, day by day here, getting closer to the start of the season. So it's something we could be revisiting on G&D in the future. But he did this, and I love these projects, right? So he gets 50 sources from the NFL. These are not media members. These are league executives, coaches, scouts, and players. Now, I'll be very honest with you, just as a general rule, players are busy playing, and a lot of times they respect different things about guys, their peers, than a talent evaluator might. But particularly with executives, coaches, and scouts who have to eval those players all the time and game plan against them, I think that insight can be amazing. And there is something to be said if you're playing with or against a guy that you should absolutely be part of the equation. So he's got 50 of these folks voting. He then adds up all the votes and kind of puts the ranking in order for each position group, and today he went with quarterbacks. It shouldn't surprise you that Mahomes ranked number one. Number two on this list was Russell Wilson, who has moved ahead of Aaron Rodgers, who was third. And then rounding out the top five, he had Deshaun Watson and Drew Brees. Now, you got to know that this is just for this season, right? This is going into 2020. This isn't about the next few years, so Rodgers being 36 or Brees being 41 is not necessarily going to be held against them if you think they can get through 16 games. Lamar Jackson shows up sixth on this list, Tom Brady seventh, and we can kind of delve a little deeper after that. But I was interested about that second spot. Do you go Wilson or do you go Rodgers? The case for Wilson, one of the NFL quarterbacks that consistently every single season brings it no matter what's around him. I mean, has he ever had a top 10 receiver? His tight ends have always kind of been pedestrian. His line has never been particularly good. And all you get from him is MVP-type numbers when he's excellent or really good numbers when he's having a down go of it. He was the only NFL quarterback to rank in the top five in QBR inside and outside of the pocket. He was fifth inside and fourth outside. And he's so good off schedule, as Jeremy Fowler points out, that people, and I'm one of them, I don't give him enough credit, honestly, for just being a pocket passer between the tackles in the middle of the tackle box, standing there making throws. Because you think of Russell Wilson, you think of the great plays where he's moving around. Uh-huh. But he can do both. And Rodgers, who's coming off of a year where he just looked like he didn't move as well, a couple of injuries the last few seasons, Danny, it seems like there's a little bit of mileage on the tires now. So they've got him third behind Wilson.
I think you touched on it. We don't properly credit Russell Wilson the way that we should. As A, as just a playmaker, B, as just a pure quarterback, he doesn't get enough credit. Look at his last really 5 or 6 years, staggeringly good numbers. There's one outlier season where he only threw, I say only, he threw for low 20s touchdowns and a lot less yards for a 10-6 team checking it down. Every other year, it's basically mid-30s touchdowns, single-digit interceptions, quarterback rating close to 110, back-breaking third and fives where he makes something happen out of nothing, rushing when it's appropriate, buying time, making players around him a lot better. I love him ranked number two here. And we're not saying all-time career. He's not all-time Aaron Rodgers. He's not all-time Drew Brees. Entering this season, I'd probably rather have him than a couple of those other guys that are first ballot, surefire, Pantheon, Hall of Famers. We don't properly appreciate how good Russell Wilson is and has been for a team that, as you touched on correctly, has been constantly changing around him since, Pete Carroll branded big cornerback, run the dang ball type Seattle Seahawks teams. Personnel has changed dramatically. He has been excellent as a quarterback really since 2015.
I think part of it for me in terms of why maybe I don't always think of him in the light of maybe he's the second best or third best quarterback in the league, because he's certainly in that conversation, is what you talked about at the end of what you were just saying, which is I think oftentimes less is put on his plate. He makes those winning end-of-game plays at an unbelievable clip. He's such an exceptional athlete. He is a sensational player when everything's breaking down. It's a rare skill that only a few guys have, and he's probably got as good a version of it as anybody. But they always run the ball really well. And this recent iteration of Seattle over the last few years, I mean, you think about like 2018, okay? In 2018, they went 10-6. Russell Wilson threw the ball 427 times. 16 games. There are people in this league that throw it 600 times at his position. Now, he's always going to have a lot of touchdowns. They throw it in the red zone a lot. And that's great. But like that year, he threw for 3,400 yards. Basically a couple hundred yards per game. You know, being asked, don't turn the ball over, make throws in the red zone. Do you take away from him for being ultra efficient? I don't think you should. But if you're asking me that when I'm picking the nits between like Rodgers or even Watson or the other guys that are high on this list right now, Drew Brees, that's part of it for me. If he had to go out there and throw it 575 times, now I'd be curious to see what happens. But we haven't seen him throw the ball more than 545 times but once in his career. The year he did that, by the way, he threw for 4,200 yards, 21 touchdowns, and 11 picks. I mean, it wasn't like this crazy statistical number. It was one of his worst quarterback ratings. In fact, the year he threw the most, it was his worst quarterback rating ever, which I think is kind of a little bit telling. But I'll say this. I got no problem with Wilson being two ahead of Rodgers going into this year, because I think Rodgers has to prove that he can bounce back, because the thought is that the arrow is starting to trend down a little bit. I would personally flip those guys maybe. I'm a little bit of a Rodgers mark, so I'd probably put him second behind Mahomes, and then I'd have Wilson third. Deshaun Watson and Drew Brees are kind of the next guys then in this conversation. We can get into them next. Lamar Jackson possibly being slept on. I mean, he's down at six. What kind of year will Lamar have in his second go-round with the Ravens, just 23 years old? We'll get into that as well as we continue to talk QBs on Grant and Danny. Let's get some calls, though. We'll open up the phones for you. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. The list we're breaking down is based on the opinions of 50 NFL insiders who are in the game, not media people. Pat Mahomes is the number one quarterback. He just got his mega deal. Who's second going into this season? That's the question on the Fan. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler put together a list of the best quarterbacks in the NFL going into 2020. It's not his list. He spoke with 50 league executives, coaches, scouts, and players to try to figure out how the QB position should be ranked going into the year. Pat Mahomes was the standalone number one option. Not surprisingly, this list comes out a day after Pat Mahomes just got a 10-year extension that could be worth $500 million, and he's under contract for the next 12 years for the defending Super Bowl champions. He was the MVP in the title game for the Chiefs. We said that Russell Wilson 2, Aaron Rodgers 3 is perfectly defensible. I mean, there is nothing wrong with that ranking with Rodgers now 36 years old. The 4-5 category, Deshaun Watson, who has become not just a great playmaker and a really impressive quarterback, but immensely consistent with what seems to be lots of change around him. You know, it seems like his coach takes a lot of shots, and I don't mean from the media, although that happens, but takes a lot of chances on moving personnel around because he feels so comfortable that Watson is going to be able to get the most out of whoever he's got. Fowler's list here of those 50 sources, the votes came back in for Watson to be ahead of Drew Brees in the 4-5 part of this top 10.
You know how I feel about Deshaun Watson. I love him. He's one of my favorite NFL players. This is wrong. I don't get this. If you're talking about surroundings, if you're talking about the organization, if you're talking about – he still belongs in the top 10, but they got worse. They lost DeAndre Hopkins. They are worse than they were before. They replaced him with David Johnson, who was broken at this stage. This is not the guy a couple years ago that, you know, every time he touched the ball, every third time was a touchdown under Bruce Arians. This is a bizarre, too high ranking. Again, and I love Watson. He's going to complete 67, 68% of his passes for around 4,000 yards, 26 touchdowns on the nose. That's what he's done each of the last couple seasons. That's too high for me. Drew Brees was on a 40-touchdown pace before being injured last year. That's a little bit strange to me, that ranking. And again, I love Watson. I don't think he belongs at 4, though.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would have Brees ahead of him for sure. And there are some other guys I would even consider having ahead of him potentially who are a little bit lower on this list. Brees is at 5. Now, one thing that's interesting is they point out that I guess one of the sources said, you know, we all noticed that they had to bring Taysom Hill in a couple times to throw the ball down the field. And Brees does not really have the deep ball anymore. But he's still 8th in air yards per attempt in the NFL at 8.8. Anything at or around the line of scrimmage or in that 10 to 15 yard range, I mean, he is as accurate and as flawless with ball placement as anybody in the game. And he's just been the perfect fit in that Sean Payton offense forever. And that hasn't changed. I want to spend a little time on Lamar Jackson, though, who they've got 6th. I'm fascinated by him after last year. I admit I had no expectation for him to do what he did, for that offense to be what it was. That was fun to watch. It was exciting. I didn't quite buy in early. Didn't think they could go the distance in the season. So maybe this is going to sound like, again, I'm doubting them, and they can prove me wrong once more after going 13-3 a year ago. But I find almost every single number he posted, if you're going to give it to me as an over-under, going to be really hard to duplicate. You know, maybe the passing yards at 31-27 he could surpass because they're not going to be as good. They're trailing in more
games. I think he will, yeah.
You know, it's just hard to go 13-2 in 15 starts like he did last year again. That's more of a team thing than a him thing. But 36 touchdowns, I would take the under. That's hard to do. Touchdown percentage last year was 9%. I mean, that, in terms of of every 100 throws, like 9 are touchdowns. That's insanity. You just can't do that again. It's not going to happen. The ints probably go up again if you're throwing more for more yards. You're being asked to do more. Rating was 113. I would go under. I feel like it was just one of those years that they took the league by storm. A lot of things went well. And what's crazy about me saying this, Danny, is I love their players more now, their personnel better.
Yes.
I mean, they drafted J.K. Dobbins in the second round, and they brought in 2 offensive linemen in the first 4 rounds, including Tyree Phillips and Ben Bredersen. You look at the receiver position where you got Hollywood Brown hopefully healthy for the year, and they drafted Devin Duvernay in the 3rd round to go along with Willie Snead and Miles Boykin. They're ready to go. I mean, there's no holes on this team. I just think, and maybe it's 2012 and the fact that I kind of saw things come crashing down that looked like they'd never be defended here. I just think the league will make a couple of adjustments, and I'm not saying it's not going to work at all. I think they win their division and make the playoffs and are probably 10-6, 11-5. But I just think this is going to be a much more difficult season for them. And they probably go further in the playoffs, but it's just not going to come as easily. They're not going to be hanging 40 every other week.
Right. So two things can be true. I think a regression happens just because that division is going to be better. If Roethlisberger's healthy, Pittsburgh's not a pushover. They were a quarterback away from being excellent last year. Their defense was incredible, and they've still got some pretty good offensive pieces. If their quarterback play was even decent, they were a 10-11 win team last year. It wasn't, so they weren't. So enter that. The Browns will be coached by an adult. They won't be pushovers. I think Cincinnati's still a very, very hot garbage fire that's going to be ranking.
But maybe friskier with Joe
away.
Burrow.
But yeah, but competitive
they can hang with you for a game.
But that's kind of the point. But back to Jackson. As a pure passer last year, it's impossible to separate his 1,200 rushing yards and 7 yards per attempt and 7 touchdowns. He was one of the best runners in the league. All positions, full stop. I mean, he was excellent last year as a runner. Would have been a top 10 running back. And then you add in the passing yard, 36 touchdowns, and the like. His ability, and he's a better thrower than people give him credit for, but he's not Drew Brees. He's not, you know, Tom Brady. He's not Montana. He's not, you know, one of these all-time greats there. The ability for them to do some of the things they did, especially striking downfield or some of these seam routes to tight ends, is based on the ability of him and the threat of running the football. If that stays, he could put up ridiculous numbers again. I'm with you that he may not equal some of these previous totals, but if there's a turned ankle, if there's what happened his rookie year where he was dinged an awful lot, you may not see some of the same threats. You also see defensive coordinators making adjustments, forcing them to do things that they may not want to do, etc. I think he's actually very appropriately rated on this list. It sounds like it's a slight talking about the reigning MVP, guy that just had one of the most incredible seasons we have ever seen. But I don't think it's a knock on him. I just think it's evolution. I think defensive coordinators. I think the division. I think a lot of things. He'll still be really good and not put up these unbelievable numbers, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and one thing that's really obvious to me about the 50 executive coaches, players, and the scouts, the people that were interviewed to put this list together, is the value they put in and the care they have for being able to make plays at quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, they are going to love the Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Carson Wentz types where the play is never dead. Dak Prescott, and they should, over your Jimmy Garoppolo, Kirk Cousins, you know, Matt Ryan, those guys who fell out of the top 10 here, even Matt Stafford, who got listed 10th over some of those guys. And that's the trend of the league. I mean, you want someone who, when things are breaking down, can get off schedule and keep the chains moving, and it makes perfect sense. That is where the league is going at that position. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Let's talk about the Pat Mahomes contract with Joel Corey, a former agent who is a capologist and an expert when it comes to NFL money. Next, right here on The Fan. With Danny, I'm Grant. You are listening to The Fan. This should give you a little jolt, kid on Christmas morning style, a little shot of giddiness right into the gut. Some joy here. Emily Kaplan has this report on Twitter. Just saw this come across. As far as the NHL's plan on the return to play, they've got the two hub cities, Edmonton and Toronto, couple-hour time difference, obviously. She says she's told that the plan for the NHL as of now is that they'll have 3 games a day in each of the hub cities. So at 12, 4, and 8 p.m., they'll have games. She mentions the two-hour time difference. Basically, there's just going to be games all day long, presumably televised. What a viewer's dream, she points out. But this is the NCAA tournament for the NHL. I mean, you could have game back-to-back-to-back with game play and all day long be able to watch playoff-caliber hockey.
I mean, weekend youth sports style, baby. Oh, I love it.
Unbelievable, doesn't it?
Yes. That's what it should be. Excellent. Excellent.
And by the way, the NHL just got a new CBA done. Like, they're handling everything much cleaner and better than the other sports. And I know it's not comparing apples to apples, but I give them credit for it. Well, let's go to the Mattress Warehouse hotline right now. Welcome onto the show, one of our favorite guests when it comes to needing information and trying to learn about contracts. We call our buddy Joel Corey. He is on Twitter at Corey Joel, former sports agent, NFL contracts, and cap expert. He's got a brand new podcast that you can check out as well. Joel, let's start with this. The Mahomes contract. When we see the numbers, they're so big and overwhelming, we kind of double take. What actually matters here and what doesn't?
The security matters in all NFL contracts, and his contract is extremely unusual for a really long contract. In your typical long contract, it's a series of team options after the first 3-4 years, and the team can exit whenever they feel like it. That's not the case in this deal. Mahomes first sticks the bulk of the money in March roster bonuses each year, which helps, but the real thing that helps him is guarantees vest a year early. Like, take, for example, his 2027 contract year. He's supposed to make $59.59 million in that year. $49.4 is in a third day of the league year roster bonus. But that roster bonus becomes fully guaranteed in 2026, a year early. He's got a 2026 roster bonus, which becomes fully guaranteed in 2025. In the later years of the contract, the money's not as big in the roster bonuses, but the same concept, 2031 vest in 2030, 2030 in 2029, and so forth. So it's about tiers you're going to see for an NFL contract.
Joel, we've seen Kirk Cousins do this, and we've seen Dak Prescott kind of start on this journey. But this position is in such demand. Did Pat Mahomes cost himself money by doing it this way? He could have just sort of played the tag game and, you know, free agented himself and gotten maximum dollar kind of each and every go around. The security's there, as you touched on. It's amazing. But did he cost himself, do you think?
Yeah, he did. He did. But he said he wants to have a dynasty. So he's kind of doing a Tom Brady-like thing, but not in the same blatant manner. When Brady in 2014 started taking steep hometown discounts, it's the richest contract you've ever seen in American team sports history. So that right there makes it different from Brady. But the cash flow was not very good in this deal. He's getting $6 million more than he would have made on the last year of his rookie contract to give up 10 new years. Now, by contrast, Jared Goff gave up 4 new years, is getting $30 million over the remaining 2 years of his contract. Carson Wentz, 4 new years, he's getting 29.5. And if you compare it to how he'd done year to year, if he'd played it out and gotten the exclusive franchise tag in 2022, that number's projecting right now at about 39.4. It's subject to change, but he'd be about $4 million ahead than the $63 million he has over 3 years. Franchise him again at a 20% increase, he's about $11 million ahead. And if you'd stick a third franchise tag on him at a 44% increase, he'd be about $40 million ahead. If he went 2 years to play out the rookie contract and 3 straight franchise tags, then he'd be free. So, yeah, he did cost himself money from that standpoint, but I don't think that was his objective, to maximize every dollar.
Our guest is one of the foremost experts when it comes to NFL contracts, Joel Corey, on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan, and you can hear him on Inside the Cap with Joel Corey, which is a really good opportunity to learn about the money of the NFL. Joel, Kirk Cousins had the idea when he was here, and the Redskins weren't really interested in tying his salary to a percentage of the cap annually. So in other words, he wouldn't really know what his salary was going to be until he knew what the salary cap was. Why wouldn't teams want to do that? It seems like it would make sense for players to do that because the money grows at a clip. But I would think from the team side, it's also smart, because if I agree that, you know, 14 or 15, or I don't know what the percentage is now of quarterback money and salary cap, but then I don't have to worry about them that getting unruly. Why don't we see that deal struck?
Teams are averse to setting new contract precedents, especially ones which fundamentally change how things are done. So that's why you won't see that happen anytime soon. Nobody wants to be the first to do that. Teams don't like to make distinctions from one guy to another, even though you can take one guy's set of circumstances and they're totally different from another's. Teams are just adamant against setting a contract precedent. Russell Wilson tried it, got nowhere. Want to understand, Aaron Rodgers floated the concept, it got nowhere. It's going to take someone to do what Cousins did. To play out two franchise tags or three, hit the open market, you'll have to have multiple suitors. That's how he got the fully guaranteed contract. I think that's how some quarterback would get the percentage of the cap thing.
But am I wrong in saying, Joel, that it makes sense for the team? What am I missing on their side of this? I feel like it is a practical decision.
Cost certainty.
I get what you're saying. I don't want to be the first.
Cost certainty. cost certainty. Teams like cost certainty. You don't necessarily have cost certainty if it's tied to the percentage of the cap, because you don't know how much the cap is going to go up. And then if you tied it now, percentage of the cap, when you particularly don't know what the new TV deals are going to be, you're not sure what you're going to be getting into. So if once you have new TV deals in place and you can kind of project out what we're talking about, you don't know how gambling revenue is going to fit into this whole thing either. So that those two variables, I think, besides the fact that teams hate establishing new contract precedent, are why you don't see it happening.
Joel, a quick one here. You mentioned some of these years where the amount that Mahomes would count against the cap really swells. So basically $60 million and a couple others. You know, we'll see how the cap goes, as you kind of touched on with gambling, and otherwise it may just be there. But would you expect a lot of restructuring as we go for this, just to kind of kick some money down the road?
Yes, the Chiefs have kicked money down the road in the past. And also, once you start kicking money down the road, even though you have the guarantees, it makes it more secure for him, because then you're going to have all this dead money if you cut the guy, in addition to the guarantee. So, yeah, he's going to be the first guy you go to. You only prorate the signing bonus over 5 years. And then after that, whenever you start restructuring, you're creating proration in – for up to 5 years. So yeah, you're going to see him do that. Dallas has been doing that a couple of times with the Tyron Smith contract, which was the longest one we had in the NFL, at an 8-year extension. So they restructured a couple of times for him to create cap room and raise the cap numbers in the future. I expect that to happen with Mahomes at some point in time.
Joel, thank you so much for the time. We always learn when we talk to you. We appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Joel Corey. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. The Double Play is next. Hey, guys. Grant Paulson from my friends at EMP 180. I'm going to be in the same boat as a lot of you guys when I get back from vacation. I'm going to need to get back to the grind, get back to my playing weight, as they say. Some of you may have gained that quarantine 15. Maybe you were making some stress-eating decisions during this pandemic. It's okay. EMP 180 is here for you. They've got personalized programs that work. They have a customized individual goal platform they'll put together specifically for you, different from everyone else. You get your own wellness counselor that answers any questions you have and chats with you each and every time you need to discuss any food things with them. And I'll tell you what is really cool about right now, you can do a lot of this virtually. I mean, you don't even have to go into the office for your weigh-ins and your consultations. Pretty incredible the way that they've set all this up during this pandemic. So come on, let's lose some weight together. 855-888-0180, 855-888-0180, or go online at emp180.com. EMP 180 Weight Loss, empowering a healthier you. If you missed our conversation on the turbulent few days in Major League Baseball, players are worried about how testing is going and how slow it's been getting results back. You can go podcast that on the radio.com rewind function. That segment, all of our baseball segments presented by Waldorf Honda, the first and largest remote car delivery dealership for sales and services in the DMV area. Waldorf Honda has kept it simple. Visit their website, waldorfhonda.com. Out of that conversation, though, I got this tweet I just saw from JD. He said, somehow Jimmy Johnson is COVID negative on June 26th. Then 7 days later, he was positive, and 4 days after being positive, he's negative again. How does this fit into our baseball sports calculus? And before we get to our double play, I thought we could hit this, Danny. I don't know about you, but it doesn't change anything for me. I mean, I feel like we know that some people can kick this thing quicker than others. So I told him, I said, I think it's about what we thought, right? If you have the ability to get tested and you're negative again a couple times, then he gets to come back and race, or you get to rejoin your team. Mm-hmm. And his point is, well, we've always heard you got to quarantine for 14 days. And I think that's for people like you and me and him. Like, we're not being tested every couple of days. So this virus could last for 2 weeks. If we had the ability and the luxury of being tested daily and we found out after 5 days that now we're negative, then we can start living our lives again. But specific to baseball players, if they're positive, let's just pick a random baseball player, let's say some dude from the Marlins. And then after 6 days, he's fine. Then he should be able to go rejoin the team, I would think.
The to me, the threshold for rejoining the team is, are you going to infect other people? And if the answer is no, pick him up. Let's go play. If it's he feels fine, but if, you know, I don't know, he breathes in the clubhouse, somebody's going to get it, then he can't come back. So I don't know medically how that works. I am not a doctor. I'm not a public health expert. I am just a pudgy idiot in my laundry room. So that's the only thing that should really matter. Now, the first priority, obviously, is to get that guy healthy. But if he's feeling fine, as most people typically do, by the way, if you get this thing, are you going to infect other folks? And if the answer is no, let's play the game.
And I'm just a pudgy idiot who's never been in your laundry room. Or maybe once, I think. I went to the bathroom.
You poked your head in. Yeah, you saw.
Yeah. I did a load of clothes in there one time, I think.
You did.
And I would just think if you have it and you're testing positive, then you're quarantined. And if you don't and you pass multiple tests that say you're negative for C-19, then you come back. But what do we know? Grant and Danny on the Fan, it is time for our double play.
GP, let me shoot here. I'm bad at a lot of stuff. You know that. Listeners know that. No one knows that better than my wife. My worst skill, potentially, of anything that I'm bad at, this is like the number one seed in the AP and Coaches Bowl, I can't find anything. I have lived with my wife since late summer of 2007. So we're, 13 plus years we've been doing this. We moved in together and been together for 14 years or so, okay? Since we've lived together in various places, apartments, house now, whatever, I don't know where anything is, and I can't find anything. This is a constant source of frustration both for me and for her. She doesn't like it when I start rifling through things. I get frustrated so quickly. Nothing is intuitively put away. Nothing is where I would put it. For me, if I need something, I have to leave it out so that I can see it. That's untenable. We can't have things out. They have to go in these mythical places called away and where it belongs and in its place and all these other sorts of things. Nothing is intuitive. I have never gone into a cabinet, opened the correct one first, and gotten out the pan or the pot or the cutting board or the big bowl or whatever the hell it is. This is all going to a place, and here's that place. About 2 months ago, sitting in this uncomfortable chair in my laundry room, right, that is horribly uncomfortable and awful, I get a bunch of cramps and neck pain and shoulder pain and, the different non-muscle fat areas that I have around my head. I purchased a massage gun to give myself some relief.
Is it the guy that is like a trigger and it just shoots it? You like pop, 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 pop.
Yeah, you don't even trigger it. It's either on or off and it's going or it's not. And it's nice. Ooh. It's a nice little thing. It's not great, but it helps a little bit.
Okay? Is it worth me buying it? I'm thinking about getting one.
Yes, okay. It's good. It's like $70. I got like the basic model, and it's good. Here is the rub. Here's where we're going with this. The first thing you have to do is charge the battery. I have there's a power cord. There's a base kind of setup. I charged the battery when I first got it, and then I used it. After that moment when I charged it, I have not seen the power cord. I didn't put it away. I have asked for nearly 3 months, 2.5 months, semi-daily. Do you know where the power cord is? Have you seen the power cord? And I dismissed, constantly dismissed about this power cord. I have searched and searched everywhere. I have ransacked my house, every storage room, every cabinet, every cupboard, every bag, every place it could possibly be, constantly looking for this thing. My wife, so annoyed about that, so annoyed that I'm looking through things, so annoyed that I can't find it, finally decides she's going to take on the project of finding it. Decides this morning, today, this day, in the year of our Lord, July, what are we at, 7th, 8th? July 8th, 2020, I'll take this on. A minute and a half, she finds it. 90 seconds, she finds it. And it turns out she's the one who put it away in some place and never cared about where it was. And it basically goes to show, I'm not going to look for anything again. I'm just going to bother her and ask her to find it for me. That's the end. It took her 90 seconds, and it's taken me 2.5 months. That's the end of the story.
At no point did we consider engaging her in this search?
Oh, I engaged her every day, but it wasn't important to her to find. It wasn't important enough for her to actually go do it, and she just kind of dismissed it. And I'm sitting there going, I'd love to find this power cord. I'd love to know where it is. I don't know where it is. I need it at some point because the thing's going to run out of charge. She didn't care, but for whatever reason, today she did.
Going blitzing at noon. We've got a power cord with us. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.